That's right.
Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast.
Usual Friday.
Hey, what is up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talk About It Friday. And today's guest is Kimberly, and this woman is absolutely incredible because she's an award-winning author of the paranormal series. And today we've got our co-guest as well, our co-host, sorry, not co-guest. How are you, Kimberly, and how are you, Nicole?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
I'm absolutely fine too, thank you.
That's absolutely awesome. So it is the summertime here in the UK. What is it over the US, Kimberly?
Oh, it's definitely the summertime. I'm in the northern, I'm in North Carolina.
Mm,
so
wow.
We're having actually a little bit of a heat wave lately.
Heat wave lately.
We've been having about 90s and around close to 100.
Ooh.
So it's been a little cooler today, so I'm real glad about that. We had some nice rain last night, and it's cooled things down a bit.
Yeah, we're lucky in a way because we're hitting targets in the UK, and I think today is about 32.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at going up to, well, from what I heard is that it could go up to 40.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're getting a little warm. Yes, I forget.
Oh, yeah.
We were actually up in the mountains, not this past weekend, but the weekend before we have the Grandfather Mountain Highland Games. So
all right.
I was covering that for my primary job. Is I work at a publication called Cabarrus Magazine here. It's a regional magazine. And I was writing a story about the Highland Games up there.
Hmm.
So that's actually on our website now, but it was a lot of fun. That was the first time I'd been.
Wow,
that's a little incredible. Bit of UK culture there.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, wow. So tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I am, of course, my name is Kimberly Brulette. I've been an author for about 8 years now. But prior to that, I had been editing books for about 12 years. And I finally got to the point that I enjoyed reading everybody else's books, but I felt like I had some ideas of my own and I was looking to get into writing myself. Prior to that, I had worked in advertising and marketing for about 11 years. So I've been in the publishing and the marketing / advertising industry for nearly 30 years now total.
Wow.
So I've had a lot of experience in a variety of different formats. We did for a while with the magazine, we did have a small publishing company for about 7 years or 8 years. And during that time, I was actually doing a lot of the editing for some of those publications. And so that's where I kind of got started on the editing. And prior to that, I'd mostly worked on the advertising, copywriting / marketing end. In that arena. So I've had a kind of an interesting mix of experience throughout the years. But it wasn't until about 7 years ago that I began writing, and a friend of mine invited me to join her in writing a book. We thought it was just going to be a single book. Ended up being called Secrets in the Shallows. We co-authored that one, and her name is Karen Vance Hammond. And she invited me to work with her on the project. She had come up with an initial idea based on a dream that she had, which is actually the prologue of the first book. Mm. A very terrifying, if you will, intro that does have a murder at the very beginning of the book. And so that's how we started the story. When we got to starting working on the project, though, I felt like we needed to turn this into more of an actual mystery. So rather than just have a scary thriller, I wanted to bring it more of into a whodunit and not actually tell the reader who the killer is until we wanted to let it be revealed. And a little bit unusual is that the killer is actually not revealed until the second book. So you have kind of a cliffhanger at the end of the first book. It is a series. In the second book, you actually find out who did it, but then in the third book, you find out why. And so it goes back 30 years, and you find out all these events that began this series of snowballing, you know, things happening in order to have this person become the serial killer that they are. So, and then the ghosts are basically the victims of the serial killer, and they are haunting the investigators in order to help solve their murders. So it kind of mixes a bunch of Agatha Christie and Alfred Hitchcock with a little bit of Stephen King. So,
oh wow,
that's kind of a mix.
Yeah, I've also seen that you got onto the Indie Authors Wall of Fame. How did you feel when you got on there?
Oh, I was excited. There's about, I guess, about 40 authors on there right now. So I guess I feel special, if you will. You know, it's nice to be on.
It's amazing.
And to have done a lot, because I did work, you know, I have worked for a publishing company and in this industry for so long, I didn't go the traditional route per se. I actually created a platform for my books called Mysterium Publishing, because I can do everything. So it was kind of like, why do I want to pay somebody else to do something that I already know how to do?
Yeah, definitely.
That's true.
And so I've gone, you know, it's got a few extra hardships because of that. I have to do everything myself. You know, I have to wear many hats, but I do graphics. I design my own covers. I actually lay out my entire books. Now I do not do editing. I learned that from bad experience. I won't ever do that again. In fact, there are a couple of my reviews on the UK Amazon platform that are from that first release when I made the mistake of trying to edit my own book and trying to get other people to proofread it, and it did not work. So please do not look at those. Those are really old reviews. Look at the newer reviews that are available. So I really would be interested in having some new people getting on there and letting me know what they think about the newer editions of the book. So.
No, that's absolutely cool. So what made you want to become an author and writer?
Well, it was just how it kind of happened. As I mentioned, you know, when I was working on a project, it was actually in 2005, and I was helping Pamela S. Tolan work on a book about Abraham, believe. And it was an interesting book because I actually also have a master's in biblical theology. And so I thought, you know, that I could contribute to her book because she was working on Abraham, you know, from the Bible. And there's that talk about in the Bible, about 80 years that they kind of skip over. And so we actually did a lot of archaeological history research, and I worked with her for a year on that project as she was just to research that book. And then we began working on the project. It took about another 8 months to write. And she was the primary author, but I did actually contribute. I was contributing to the story, and it kind of got me interested. I was like, I actually wrote some sections of the book that she allowed me to. And it got me intrigued about actually doing that part of it and coming up with the entire story myself. And so that's when I began to get interested in doing that. Now, this was combined with the fact that I moved into a haunted apartment, and we were there for about 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was going to ask what this sounds
like. Yeah.
Oh, those are my dogs. I'm sorry.
I thought so.
I guess the timing was right.
Yeah, so absolutely.
We were in a haunted apartment for about 3 years, and we had activity almost daily.
We can relate to that.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Yeah.
So I found out later that there was apparently a serial rapist / murderer. Was living in the apartment, not this necessarily this apartment. We don't know which apartment, but nearby.
Mm.
And they the police surrounded him somewhere in the vicinity of where we were, and then basically he committed suicide after he had killed another woman. And so I think that that's where a lot of the negativity had come from, was from that, that what was left of that. And I actually had, I actually heard a disembodied growl, and I wasn't the only one. My husband was also there, heard it himself as well. So it, and it was so close that I felt the vibrations on my neck, and it scared me half to death. I was, it was the scariest thing I've ever experienced, I think.
Yeah, we heard a grunt once.
Yeah, this was like a guttural growl.
Yeah.
And it just is, and I could tell exactly where it was because I felt it on my neck, you know, with the vibrations. And
yeah, that's never good.
Oh, so it was right there behind my right shoulder. And my husband could, it was so loud that he could pinpoint where the sound was coming from. And just as I was about to ask him, did you hear that? Which I didn't really need to do because I could see it in his face.
Yeah,
it did it a second time. So I jumped up, I grabbed him and asked him to hold me. And, you know, I was scared me half to death, like I said. But we had those type of experiences. And I got to thinking when my friend offered me the opportunity to work with her on the first book. Now, it kind of coincided with everything. The fact that I had wanted to write anyway, and the fact that I had all these experiences that were happening. And I knew that I could, because I knew what these felt like, and we had them, like I said, almost daily, we had things happen. So I know what it feels like to have your neck, you know, your hair stand on edge, and you get the goosebumps and you feel something watching you and all these things. So it just kind of combined at the right time. And I began working on the project with her. Now, unfortunately, she was unable to continue after the first book because she had a family member that grew very ill. So she had to kind of bow out, but she, you know, let me continue gracefully. And I continued with the story we thought was going to be one book at first, but it ended up being a total of three.
So what I was going to ask you, actually, when did you start writing the book? Was it when you first moved into the haunted place, or was that way before that?
No, it was after we had been there for probably about 6 months that I began working on the project. What happened was when we got into the apartment, after about 6 weeks, we started having experiences. We actually had a soda can fly off the table once, and no one was around it. There was no wind. I mean, it was half full. So, and it was in the middle of the table. So that was how it kind of all started. And I was having all these experiences, and I started wanting to know answers, to find out answers to, you know, questions, and find out, you know, how safe are we here? You know, what do we need to do? Things like that. So I started getting into a lot of paranormal communities, groups, and other, you know, contacting people with regard to paranormal activity, especially on Facebook. I was, I got connected pretty quickly. And as we got to know people, that's how I got to meet Karen through one of those groups. And she had known I was an editor for a long time. So she was originally thinking I would just help her edit the book. But the more we started talking, the more we realized we needed to co-author the first book. And so we, you know, that's how we began working on it together, and just kind of started from there. The second book, you know, was supposed to be part of the first book. Well, then we realized that there was so much in a mystery. You have more rabbit trails and tangents that you need to include, so that it's not real easy to know, you know, the answer. And because of that, I got through to a certain part of it, and I was like, we've got to split this into two books. You know, there's no way we can do this in one book. So at first we thought we were going to do two books. Well, then I realized, wait a minute, there's another part of this that we haven't discussed, and that's the why. And so with that, this Karen had already been, had stopped working on the project when I decided to go ahead and add the third book, which would go back 30 years into, you know, have a kind of a dual timeline thing with continuing on the current timeline where you catch the killer versus the past timeline that was the one that started it all and what the reasons were for everything. And I have, you know, a lot of Easter eggs throughout the story that come together in the last book, and you realize that this element or this item were very important. Even though they might have showed up two books ago, you know, they might not have seemed very important, but now you see how they all mix together and how they actually come together to help catch the killer or are significant to the reason for everything happening. So,
yeah, definitely. I've seen that you've got also a fourth one coming out as well with all them.
Yes. It's actually a prequel-sequel series. Now, I have it's a little different, though. It's this one that's going to have angels and demons in it. Okay. And it's going to follow the journey of a cursed item. So it's going to start, there's going to be a dual timeline thing. There's going to be some characters from the previous books that are going to continue on, because a lot of my readers said that they like my characters and they enjoy finding out about them and they feel like they know them.
Oh,
and
so
I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll continue a new chapter per se in the story. It's not about the murders and everything, even though there's some things that may come out about that, what happened in the previous books. It's not primarily about that. The primary thing is about this cursed item and how it is created. And then it's going to be a new series where it follows the journey of this cursed item through history. So you actually, in the first book, it goes back 2,000 years and you find out how the item was created. And so I'm having to do a lot of research in order to make sure that I have certain things right, locations right, time periods right and such, what people wore, people ate, things like that. And in the second book, it's going to focus on that, but it's going to end pretty much on that time period of when it's created. Then the second book is going to be how the item emerges in more modern history. And that's going to be basically during World War II. It's going to be emerging back into the limelight. And then book three, the item is actually going to end up, it's going to show how the item ended up where it was found in the first series. So it actually does a complete, circles back around to the first series because the item is there somewhere. Oh, and you don't even realize that it's there until later in the story.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. Yeah, well, I was going to say, because you've been doing it for such a long time, and when I spoke to you as well, you said that you was really good at marketing. What is the actual secret to marketing as an author?
I guess there's different ways. If you're in a traditional publisher, depends on how the publishing company takes. Sometimes they will help you do some of that. Sometimes they won't. You know, it depends on your agreement with them. So be prepared, any author, no matter whether you're self-published or in a traditional publishing setting, to plan on marketing yourself. A lot of authors think that just because you're with a traditional publisher that you basically can sit back and relax and expect them to do everything. And that's not the case.
No.
So you have that. I would recommend for anybody that would wanting, that is aspiring to become an author, that they need to be building their platform on social media. That is a very important thing.
Yeah. Would you say that's exactly the same as self-publishing?
Absolutely. In fact, with self-publishing, it's even in some ways more important, because if you don't have a traditional publishing company out there helping you market your books, then, and you don't have that name associated with it, then you basically are on your own.
Yeah, so, definitely. You got to put the effort in.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, I've created a platform, Mysterium Publishing, because, you know, I created the publishing company because, like I said, I have the skill sets to do that. Not everybody does that. Mm. And, you know, I've designed all my own book covers. Not everybody can do that. You know, not everybody can design their own banners, but there's a lot of free, things available, resources or low cost resources for marketing your books. Yeah. One thing though, that I noticed that a lot of, especially newer authors do, that I really highly do not recommend doing, is that on their social media, that all they do is promote their books.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah, I've seen that.
They need to invite others into their live and then tell them about themselves. And,
engagement. Yes. The whole idea is engaged.
I've noticed that too.
Right, social media is all about socializing, and so if I see an author, I'll get a lot of requests on social media for connecting and everything, and I'll see somebody has, all they do is post about, you know, the same posts over and over again. They don't do any engagement or anything. I'm not very likely to even connect with them because
that's all they're about.
I also recommend highly getting connected with a strong writing network. Mm. A lot of other authors, like on social media, especially on Twitter, I have a huge writing community that I'm a part of, and we support each other. So when I have something good happen, you know, I have several, you know, of my writing buddies that will post about it and share it. Aww. And they may have, you know, 50,000 followers or more. So, you know, if you kind of scratch each other's back, if you will, you know, with regard to helping each other out and promoting each other's book and doing it in an unselfish way, then a lot of times that can be good for you in the long run, because people will do the same for you.
Mm, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's not what, you know, should be all about. You know, I try to mix it up. I try to find out, for instance, if you go to my author page, and it's pretty easy to find me on anywhere. If you Google my name you'll see me on the first page all over the place. So
yeah, we'll have all the links in the description. Sure. Anyway, so that's absolutely cool. You know, sure. Honestly, thank you ever so much for giving this opportunity to interview you. You've been absolutely a gem and a lot of value out there for a lot of authors as well. So we really generally appreciate that as well.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll catch up with you after the show.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on.
You take care.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
You too. Thank you.
We are on air. It's Talk Best Friday.